for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now, here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here with us Monday. And it's this another Monday, January 29th, 2024. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. But man, are we getting a lot of realtors listening to this lately. So that's great to see you guys joining the ranks. Welcome, realtors and builders and anyone else interested in the housing market. You even have an increasing number of consumers writing me saying, really enjoy your podcast. A lot of great information, some of which we don't understand as consumers, but we're grateful and they're interested because they're looking for updates. What's going on with this crazy industry? And that's why we have made to you, our listener, our commitment to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Joining me is our co-host, Mark Helm from Alabama. So good to have you here, Mark. Good to have you joining in. And as always, and then also joining us, of course, we have David Kittle live, Alice Alvey live, and we've got the rest of them on pre-recorded segments that we'll be playing throughout the podcast. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. Byte Software provides an exceptional level of LOS customization, allows you to work the way you want to rather than the way your vendor says you have to work. Whether you're a CEO managing thousands of users on an enterprise model or an entrepreneur starting out, there's nothing better than finding a company that is flexible on their implementation, flexible on their costs, and very affordable, and not locking you up in long-term contracts. Byte Software is so user-friendly at so many levels. Listen to the interview that we did with Aaron D. last week. It was really good. Also, Finastra, a market-leading point-of-sale and origination platform, probably one of the best in the industry when it comes to the financial services market. I'm speaking specifically of credit unions and banks, growing in the IMB space as well. And then Joe Wellu over at Total Expert. They do a great job of creating leading fintech software that delivers a purpose-built CRM and customer engagement platform for the modern institutions. One of the things they're doing that's really well, first of all, they do have a recruiting model that helps you in your recruiting efforts for following up on all those people, all the LOs you're trying to recruit in. But more importantly, in this market with rates falling, they have the ability to make phone calls out on MSR retention. Check out Total Expert and all they can do. Also, our friends at Lender Homepage, an all-in-one AI-powered platform that provides seamless front-end solutions to the mortgage industry and the businesses of all sizes. That's what I like, all sizes. We've got all kinds of sizes of companies listening to us. So they're appealing to all sizes. They help you better connect with borrowers, convert more traffic to leads. Just an outstanding company. Check out Lender Homepage for the customization of what they do. And then if we're all interested in saving money, you got to check out Truvel, what they could do. They take 80% out of the cost of income and employment verification. They're the industry leading for coverage and conversion, covering 90% of the U.S. workforce. Also, other sponsors is Angel AI. What Bavon and the company and team are doing there with Angel AI, amazing. The Mortgage Bankers Association, we're going to hear from Adam in just a minute. Thank them for all that they do and their sponsorship, as well as Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, both of these co-ops, outstanding ways for you to connect up close and personal with your peer group that likes company size. Also, Knowledge Coop does a great job with their LMS, as well as iEmergent, Mobility, MMI, and Modex. These companies help you get business intelligence so that you have the ability to have an advantage in the marketplace. Again, last week we aired the podcast with Aaron D. of Loan People. Topic was mortgage technology benefits. And you also could relabel that is if you're thinking about starting a mortgage company on your own, you got to listen to this. Aaron D. and her partner started Loan People, and it's a great journey. They've been successful. It's really good. Upcoming this week, this Wednesday, we'll be releasing the podcast with Alan Weiss of Weiss Analytics. This is going to be really an interesting podcast because AVMs. Alan was the co-founder of the Case Shiller Report, Professor Case and Professor Shiller, while Alan was at graduate school. At Yale, he came up with the idea of Case-Shiller, and that went real well, ran that for 10 years, sold it. Now he's doing some really interesting things with Weiss Analytics. So you want to listen to this podcast, talking about the most accurate, with what's happening with the changes in the industry. Also joining us is Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham with their recorded comments, as well as David Kittle Live, Alice Alvey Live, and see if Alan Pollock joins us. Hopefully he'll be joining us today. Look forward to getting all of their feedback on what's going on. Let's get over to the NBA with Adam DeSantis and this week's Mortgage Minute, the NBA. What you have for us, Adam?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Last week at NBA's IMB conference in New Orleans, Laura Escobar, 2024 NBA chair and president of Lennar Mortgage, moderated a fireside chat with leaders at Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. The discussion centered on several items of importance to IMBs, including the industry's work with the GSEs on loan repurchase alternatives, housing affordability, climate-related risk, insurance costs and availability, and technology. While on stage, Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae used our conference as a platform to announce news. Freddie Mac provided an update on the ongoing constructive work with MBA, its members, and FHFA to develop more effective alternatives to repurchase demands when dealing with minor loan defects on performing loans. MBA appreciates the effort Freddie Mac has put into its loan purchase pilot program to rethink the process and lower the incidence of repurchases on performing loans to improve manufacturing quality. Fannie Mae announced new enhancements to Home Ready, its low down payment mortgage product to support homeownership opportunities for creditworthy borrowers. The enhancement includes a $2,500 LLPA credit for eligible borrowers that can be used for down payment assistance and closing costs. MBA remains engaged with the GSEs and FHFA to ensure high-quality underwriting and an appropriate rep and warranty framework, and will continue to advocate for sustainable policies and programs that enhance homeownership opportunities in a safe and sustainable manner for all borrowers. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate you being here with us and sending in that recording. The interesting is the part about what Freddie is doing as far as being reasonable in their repurchase demands. There's a lot of information that you got to stay up on that. Maybe Alice can give us some insights if she gets a chance, but on that. But it's fascinating that they're willing to work with us more on that. One of the big things that we're hearing is both Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are very interested in reducing the number of approved seller servicers. We're hearing this out, not from them directly, but in the scuttlebutt, reducing the number of seller servicers and that are not selling. In other words, if you just get a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac approval with no intention of selling loans to them, that's going to be more problematic. So I'm just putting that out there is what we're hearing. It's coming from reliable sources. I'd love to get some more talk on that and get some more feedback. For if any of you listeners hearing that, let me know. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac cutting back on the approvals. We're finding, Mark and I do a lot of those approvals, get people approved. Jenny Mae is almost impossible to get approved with right now. It's just a real challenge. Fannie and Freddie, they've been reasonable on getting people approved, but there certainly is a lot of interest in how much are, an increased interest on them. How much are you going to actually be selling to them? So if you're thinking about getting a Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac approval, be thinking about that because that's a question you're going to have to answer. Anyway, Adam DeSantis, thanks so much. Let's get over to Les Parker and this week's TM Spotlight and a macro view of the markets. Les, what do you have?
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Erratic buys blow our minds. Best feel all right.
What does mechanical trading, dripping volatility, and bubbling crude oil tell us? Short-term treasuries are losing hope in a March ease. Bonds like ebbing inflation, but they wonder about persistent debt-driven growth. The 10-year yield trend remains down and trapped. The bull targets are 395 and 377, while the bears fight 419 with a 427 target to capture the trend. Will this week's action break the ice?
Going to the barroom tech, selling high and getting wrecked. Bulls don't want to go to school, they just want to break the rules.
These views are mine. Learn who breaks the rules at tmspotlight.com.
Les Parker and his music parodies on the markets. What I paid attention in there is a 427 ceiling, 419 to 417 on the Bears. That is really interesting. especially when you look at how close we came. That's where we came, was the 419 handle. Gosh, shudder at the thought of it going higher. Let's go over to get Matt Graham. By the way, before we go over, get Matt Graham, then we're going to talk about the markets, get a roundtable discussion on that. We had Matt Graham here live last week. It was really fun. It was fun to get his comments. Alice asked a couple of great questions, as she always does, about Matt, and there was some great discussion around that. But sign up for Les Parker's TM Spotlight newsletter. You can do so by going to tmspotlight.com. And when you get to the website, you can sign up for the free version or the paid version. But if you pay, go for the paid version, you get it for free by putting in the word power for Power Seller in the code section there. Sign up for it. It's really good. Puts so much time and effort and so much goes into that. It is concentrate, folks. You talk about orange concentrate or any concentrate juice. There is so much packed into that newsletter, also into that soundbite. And personally, I admire Les for taking a swing at being creative with the soundbites. Anyway, let's get over to Matt Graham and an update from MBS Live. Matt Graham, founder of CEO of MBS Live. Appreciate him and his market update. Matt, what do you have for us today?
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live Market Update. Last week was transitional, perhaps, for the bond market, with yields finally not making a higher high after doing that for five straight weeks. And do we have any data to credit that accomplishment? Not necessarily. It's more about a correction having run its course off of longer-term lows, or at least intermediate lows, seen at the end of December. That was part of a two-month rally in November and December, fairly substantial one. Not a surprise to see a correction, and still plenty of indecision about where we go from here. It will be determined by economic data more than anything else, but there are other considerations to take into consideration this week. That includes the Treasury quarterly refunding announcement that'll be out Wednesday morning at 8:30. This is the Treasury market's update on how much it will borrow in terms of new auction issuance, a key market mover for the Treasury side of the market, and by extension, mortgage rates. That is something that was big news back in November. It helped kick off that big two-month rally when the Treasury indicated that it would be in a position to consider lowering auction amounts in a couple of auction cycles, or at least not raising auction amounts anymore. So it will be interesting to see if there's any additional update on that topic. And it is definitely something that can move markets away from economic data. But we also have a ton of economic data this week. Of course, there's the big jobs report on Friday. That's the biggest report of the week. There are other relevant considerations as well. And that would be kicking off with JOLTS, Job Openings and Labor Turnover Survey, on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Other relevant reports include ADP jobs, 8:15 Wednesday morning. We'll also get employment costs for Q4. Not always a huge market mover, but can have an impact. ISM manufacturing, 10 a.m. on Thursday morning. Always a potential market mover. Jobless claims, definitely a relevant supporting actor. And consumer sentiment on Friday at 10 a.m. Not the hugest report ever, but can sort of add to the narrative. Last but certainly not least, in addition to all the economic data and the Treasury refunding announcement, we have the January Fed announcement. That is the moment at which some market participants over the course of the past 2 months thought there would be a possibility that the Fed would actually cut rates already. That is no longer really seen as a legitimate possibility, but it is something that may have come up in conversation, emphasis there on May. And if it did, we would be relying on Fed Chair Powell's press conference to let us know. And look, here's the 2 cents, and probably the best 2 cents on the Fed. They're not going to be able to tell us anything other than the prevailing narrative, which is, look, inflation has been coming down nicely. That's still too high in annual terms. There's still a risk of it remaining higher than we'd like. But if it continues to do what it's doing, then we will be in a position to cut rates in the near future. And whether or not that happens is going to depend entirely on economic data, primarily inflation data and labor market data. So for now, policy is in a good stance. It's doing what we want it to be doing. soft landing looks achievable, and steady as she goes, we'll get back with you at the next meeting and take things one meeting at a time. I don't see how they can say anything other than that, but sometimes truth is stranger than fiction. We will find out Wednesday afternoon at 2 p.m. That's when the announcement itself comes out. Not looking for any major changes in that text. Then 2:30 p.m. Eastern time is when Fed Chair Powell will deliver the press conference, and that's where we might get some evolution in the narrative from the Fed. That's going to do it for this week. Back to you.
Thank you so much, Matt. Appreciate that. A lot in that. I'm looking at the markets right now, and so we're seeing right at the moment we're at a low of 4.097. Most likely what we're seeing happening right now is a result of what happened in Syria. Our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to our officials, soldiers in that were killed, and the many that were wounded there. Tragedy, just horrible. The escalation seems very likely, and sure, that's playing into the markets today. Let's get some commentary on Les's report and then Matt's thoughts. Mark Helm, good to have you join in with us. If you could join in, your thoughts as you listen to this, what, especially as you look at what's going on in the Middle East, what a tinderbox right now.
You remember, David, my military experience is 6 years, 9 months, and 23 days, not that I'm counting. So I pay a lot of attention to what's happened on militarily. There's a lot of pressure right now for Biden to act on that. We'll see if he does. It's really a shame that happened. And my heart goes out to the families of those service members and the ones wounded. And I haven't seen a report on how many were wounded. I think we're three killed and there was wounded. And I haven't seen the wounded.
I heard it's 25 in it. Yeah.
What, yeah. I heard it was high numbers. Yeah. Unfortunately, things like this, every time something happens, it's going to affect the market. It always does. And I don't know. I just hope there's just some decisiveness coming out of the White House these days on how to handle it.
It's a dinner box. Mr. Kittle, you always have thoughts on that, markets and what's going on in the White House. Try not to stay too political here, but jump on it. What are your thoughts?
First of all, good morning. And yeah, my thoughts are like Mark's. I want to thank Mark Helm for his service and every day that he spent in the service. I think Mark's spot on. This administration is reactionary. It's not preventive. And it really has nothing except to appease. And that's just my opinion. Iran right now. And you can find that all over the news media on both sides. What a shame. We didn't have to lose these three servicemen, but that totally affected the markets. I do want to comment on one thing that Adam said, not picking on Adam or anybody, but it's talking about the narrative out there right now. When we say inflation is coming down, that's not right. It is the rate of inflation that's down.
Right.
Inflation's still up, and words mean something, and they say it on the media all the time. Nothing has come down. Gas prices have fluctuated down. Thank you. I'm glad that's happened. But overall, housing, food, all of that is still up. And so we don't need to start thinking inflation's coming down because it's not.
Alice, any reflection on the market information? You had some great questions for Matt last week. It was really fun to have him live with us. But Alice, any other comments?
I think one of the words that stuck out for me in Matt's report was indecision, that the markets are just going through so much indecision right now, just hanging on and waiting. So I think it's helpful in what he described, that he doesn't expect that there's going to be much movement with Powell speaking on Wednesday, that they're supposed to stick with the narrative, although with the word supposed to and assume all of that means. But generally, will that give us a little bit of stability? We'll wait and see. But you combine that with Les's report and that things are still fluctuating in a wide enough range to give people some heartburn, I think, when they're not going down repeated. It's just not that people want just a downward trend. And so the fact that it's waffling and there's indecision, I think that's what loan officers and everyone out there just has to prepare for. There isn't going to be a trend one way or the other. It's don't float your loan, I guess, is the moral of the story after listening to both those reports. Don't float
your
rate.
Exactly right. Yeah. When you listen to Les talking about potential high of 427, we hit 419 here recently. Now we're seeing, we may be testing the lows. There's going to be a lot of volatility in this market for a while. But bottom line is we need to just be focused on what Kittle's been saying all along. Focus on your business. If you got deals, go get business. Look at creative things we could be doing. Lock your loan. That's a great word. Mr. Kittle, before we get over to Alice on her report, I want to get some feedback from you and a thought you're hearing from within the Mortgage Collaborative, the network there. I was on a call. It was unrelated to TMC, but it was a number of members just happened to be on a CEO roundtable of a conversation I participated in last week. There's just a general upbeat optimism that 2024 is going to be better. Is that continuing? Is that optimism as far as production, earnings, overall industry uptick? Are you still hearing that?
I am. And to Alice's point, she's exactly right. Spot on. Don't get greedy over an eighth or a quarter. Lock it in and don't look back at this point. So her advice is always well thought out and accurate. But yes, inside TMC, everybody's got a very optimistic outlook right now, whether it's a credit union, a community bank, or our IMBs. Is it going to be a stellar year? Nobody's saying that, but production's up and rates are down a little bit. Save the blip in the market that's happening right now because of international issues. But yeah, the overall mood is good. The registrations are really positive and coming in for our event here in Louisville at the end of March for our conference. So people are registering, getting in on the early bird, and we're really looking forward to a fantastic large turnout here in Louisville.
Yeah, well, it's a great town. Beyond the fact that you live there, it's a great town in addition to you, is what I'm trying to say. I was trying to give you a compliment there. It wasn't coming out quite right. But anyway, Louisville, great place. I love that. It's a quaint community. It seems quaint. It's a city, but it's just this really good community and with some good warehouse lenders there and good activity. And so looking forward to being there. Not only that, some good bourbon around there. So we'll be probably doing a little bit of a tasting at a few of the spots, I'm imagining.
Yeah, and maybe even my bar. You never can tell.
So. Yeah. You have a beautiful one there if that's your house. It's a gorgeous one. I will definitely be at that one. That's one tasty party I'm not going to miss. I never miss it when it's
looking forward to it, David.
Yeah. That and you and fixing me breakfast one, as I did, stopped in there one time. It was really real treat. So anyway, David, thank you so much for being here. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And look forward to what's going on. Let's get a word in from one of our newest sponsors, Kelk.
According to the Mortgage Bankers Association's seasonally adjusted index, try saying that three times facts. Mortgage applications rose 8% last week compared with the previous week. While this upward trend in purchase activity is welcome news for lenders, it also signals another level of competition for your buyers who are fighting for purchase in a market with limited housing inventory. Fortunately, Calc is here to help you help your borrowers make winning bids that can stand up against all cash offers made by investors. When you work with Calc, we provide a binding backup offer on your client's departing residence. This enables you to write non-contingent financing on the new home before they've sold their departing residence. Now, this might sound like a traditional bridge loan, but it's better. Similar to a bridge loan, your clients can use the equity in their current home to purchase their new home, making the moving process easier and less stressful for everyone. However, unlike a traditional bridge, our binding backup offer means you can qualify them for the loan on the new home without including the departing residence or second lien in their DTI. To find out more about the trade-in mortgage and how you can provide a better way to bridge, go to calcinc.com. That's CalqueInc.com.
Alice, let's get over to you for an update. Alice Alvey, Vice President of Partner Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Alice, it was really good to get on with you and Bill Cosgrove to honor David Stevens as we did here a while back. That's gotten a lot of play in those comments that you and Bill had and that we recorded and shared with our listeners. But good to have you here.
Thank you, Dave. I heard it was a wonderful tribute to Dave Stevens at the IMB, at the Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference as well. That was just really well done too. All right. I have a couple of quick things for everyone. First of all, we really do need a lot more people signed up for who actually use their Mortgage Action Alliance. So there are tens of thousands who are signed up, but we do have a build right now that is super easy. You can go to the Mortgage Bankers Association, put in MA. It should come up pretty quickly there on the MBA news link page. That's another way you can surf for it. It's House Bill 7024, Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act of 2024. This is the one which will put in some good revisions to the child tax credit and other businesses. Really, I call this one a shout out for our multifamily members out there. We want to make sure we're supporting their causes as much as the issues that affect all of our single family lending, because this one is saying that it should increase and produce an additional 200,000 rental units nationwide for the next 2 years. So I like the idea of something simple like this that helps housing. So easy enough to go into the Mortgage Action Alliance. Make sure your email is up to date. Copy their notes that go out to your congresspeople to make sure the voice is heard. The number of letters they receive matters. It's nice if you can throw a couple comments, but if you're busy, just hit send to get those letters out. So that's my one PSA today about a piece of legislation that might get a little attention still this year. It's that time of year, an election year, where not a lot of legislation is going to get attention because no one wants the other party to have a win at anything, right? As you're coming up to the election. Yes, so, true. And that's both sides, folks. I'm not picking a side there. Yeah. Anyway, and then they also brought up about Fannie Mae's lender letter that shows that they are going to also be adding this new $2,500 loan level price product. If you're used to using Freddie Mac's Borrow Smart, this is now Fannie getting on board with their Home Ready to offer something similar. So a great thing to make sure that you have on your menu of products. And then last but not least, we have not talked about capital requirements a lot on the show. I think I just want to throw a little bit out there. This is something that lenders should be concerned about. Basel III is this next round that is really getting a lot of discussion. And for those of you who don't know what Basel is, did you know that it's the city in Switzerland where the meetings are heard? Held. So it's not an acronym for anything. So people are going, what does that stand for? Nope, it's just a city. It's just a city. So essentially the proposal was last year, but the capital requirements, the tiered requirements are designed for going up in light of the regional bank failure issues that came up. Think of this as having an impact. If you're a smaller lender, you go, that's not me. I don't have to worry about that. My answer is yes, you do, because your warehouse bankers will probably have to worry about it, which means costs will go up for all of us. So just wanted to put that bug out there for those of you who think Basel III and those things don't apply to me. I just want to remind you that yes, they do. So pay attention. That's my report, Dave. Back to you.
Good job. Thank you, Alice. Appreciate it very much. You can listen to all of Alice's updates on our website, as you can with each one of the segments that you hear on the podcast. You can just go back and listen to all of them. Usually there's so much information. I always stress that with Alice. One of the things I should have mentioned when we were talking with everybody about the market is TRUV, T-R-U-V, is doing a webinar, and I am hosting that webinar. That's going on tomorrow. We'll put a link to that webinar so you can register in the show notes, but I encourage you to talk about it. I got myself, KP, and Delphine are going to be talking about 10 suggestions, 10 things you can be doing in 2024 to improve your business. Some good content in this thing. I'm really impressed. I'm honored to have been asked to host it and to be the moderator on it. Also participate in the commentary, but you can find some great material in this webinar that we're doing. A lot of people are reaching out to me. They're registering for it, so be sure to do so. Normally, we'd run over to Alan Pollock here. He's not with us today. We miss Alan's report when he's not here, but you can, again, listen to all of Alan's reports that he has as he does. We do load them up in our website, and you can listen to there. He may be getting us one in, so if you're listening on a downloaded basis, his podcast will be joining in here. Mark Helm, good to have you here with us. Let's get some comments as we wrap up the podcast today. Mark, I think back of the intelligence. You worked in intelligence when you were in the military, were you not? Wasn't on the intelligence side?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the intelligence. One of the things that I heard as the Wall Street Journal reported just before we went live here on the podcast is that the intelligence that they're getting so far is that the drone that came in that they elected to not shoot down, they thought it was a friendly. It was one of their own drones that was returning from a mission that it had gone out on, and that's why they didn't shoot it down. It's that intelligence thing. And when you look at the markets, you look at the consequences of reading signals well, and there's been a more of a conservative approach. Let's not shoot down anything. We're thinking about the three hostages that escaped Hamas that were sadly killed by Israeli troops, not knowing that they were, even though they had a flag, they were waving. Yeah, it's just how we look at the markets. I want to get your thoughts on how challenging that environment is there, the war theater, and the challenges on that.
Intelligence is, let me tell you a story. I was one time having a conversation with a friend of mine, and he asked me about my military service. And I told him I served in military intelligence, and my wife made a comment, said, that's an oxymoron.
Military intelligence. Oh, yeah.
Made me feel real good. My wife said that. So I think when you talk about the military and you talk about intelligence, it's relative. There's soft intelligence, hard intelligence, real intelligence, suspected intelligence, and everybody has an opinion about things, just like everybody has a opinion about litigation, which is something I want to talk about before we get off. But it's really tough, David. You got so many multiple intelligence agencies from so many different companies working in regions, coordinating efforts, picking up wrong information. And I think the drones are coming into play as something, the most complex things we've ever dealt with. And I think I mentioned the other day, my son-in-law is leading a program as a professor at University of North Alabama. He's leading the program now. It's called eSports, and they're actually going to offer a degree in playing games on computers. But the whole reason, one of the backers on this is the federal government and military service, because they say that's where they're going to get all their drone pilots for the future out of programs like that. And drone pilots, to some degree, have been restricted to be officers in most cases, but it's moving down into the listed ranks and things like that. Intelligence is only good as what you make of it. And unfortunately, I don't think I would deal with anything. If I was in the military this day, I'd be leery of anything unless I confirmed it from two different sources. Yeah. Because you get so much bad information. I think some bad information is actually planted for us to go down a road in an opposite direction. So that's my two cents worth on intelligence.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, business intelligence is really interesting, the tools that we have available to us. One of the books that I'm reading, Mark, that I'm recommending to all our clients and our listeners is The Coming Wave. It is a must-read book because it talks about one of the favorite topics that we're talking about on a regular basis, artificial intelligence. The rate at which knowledge is doubling is going exponentially through the roof. The amount of data that we're the knowledge that we're doing is staggering. I'll be quoting some statistics from this book, and you hear me talking about this as we do our podcast each week. Some of the things that are changing and how we go about our business. It's increased the amount of AI. There is a product out there called AIR.AI that could be so instrumental to the MSR retention recruiting. I encourage you guys to go out and listen to it or go to the website AIR, just like air, like you breathe, .AI, and play the demo that is on front and center when you go to that website. It'll come up with a demo. Play that demo and start taking a look at what's going to be available and that you could be doing with that. Pavan's probably leading the way with the number one at Agile AI, some of the most progressive things being done there. It's interesting. It's being poo-hooed and not well-received, where some of the minor changes in AI are being well-received. So I think quantum leaps are missed, which comes to the business intelligence. That what we had happen in Syria, we missed a major intelligence piece, and there were some gaps in the knowledge, and therefore they didn't shoot it down, and it came in and wreaked havoc and destruction. So I look at that metaphorically for our industry. What are some of the incoming messages that are coming into us? Like we get from the MBA, we get from the markets, we get from Powell. What's going on? I think the things that I appreciate so much, David Kittle's comments has been, it says, ignore the noise. It's Belichick. Belichick is famous for this. And his the New England's coach that said, ignore the noise, do your job. At the end of the day, we just need to show up and do our job as an industry and loan officers. So that's a bill. I don't know if we're going to start quick attributing that to Kittle or Belichick, but the bottom line, it's wisdom. Ignore the noise and do your job. Get intelligence, but it's how we do our job today that is changing rapidly. We have tools which we can get intelligence that you cannot believe how we can predict values. That's Alan Weiss and what's going on with Weiss Analytics. Predict home values moving forward, by house, by street, by neighborhood, by subdivisions, by communities. It is so fascinating, the advancements in the intelligence and data that we have. Mark, let's get a quick update on servicing. I know you and I are really trying to find some time on our calendar to get something recorded because MSR retention, should you hold it or should you fold it? In other words, should you hold on to what's there? Or should you be selling it, especially with themes like certainty, we're going to have lower rates. Give some thoughts and wisdom to that. And also you have a service you should mention that you provide. for those that are holding MSR trying to make that decision?
Well, David, I'm looking forward to that, us having that podcast on that. And we can get that on the calendar pretty much as quick as you want to do it, because I think it's value to all the listeners to hear. And yes, I've had a service in the past. My consulting company, which I've had to step away from for a while, is still offering that service where we evaluate a person's portfolio and give you some metrics on which loans you should keep when you originate them and which ones you should sell. And also look at your portfolio and see if there's some portfolios that don't fit for what you do in servicing that you want to keep long term. But I want to digress here a little bit and talk about something completely alien from that. And I got a internet feed this morning from National Mortgage News, and it was a takeoff on litigation that has happened in the mortgage banking industry. And David, you and I are very much aware of some cases where one company's suing another company for an issue, yet they're trying to defend their company against another company for the same issue. And it goes around in a gigantic circle. And as I've done a bunch of expert witness testimony and still have a few cases pending, I got to settle out. The amount of litigation in our industry today is really taking the attention off the ball. And I'm really concerned about it. I don't think it's doing our industry reputation any good, because it sounds like it presents us to be a bunch of people that do things unethically and illegally. And that's not the case across the board for them. Vast majority of mortgage banking. I think there's a lot of money being spent with attorneys that companies aren't thinking through things before they file litigations, et cetera. And I'm really distressed. I think litigation is probably at one of the worst times it's ever been in our industry, except for the subprime period debacle we had in 2007, 2008, and 2009, and the things that fed out after that. I'm really distressed every time I read about another case out there. And very prominent companies and all, it just makes me sick on my stomach that we're having to deal with that in our industry and broadcasting that across the world of what's happening. I don't know what can change about that, but I think something's got to change. I got one idea I'm going to discuss with Mr. Kittle if he's got some time after this call, which I think might, believe it or not, Mr. Kittle, we might have a resolution for this. And I'm going to discuss it with you. If you think it's a good idea, we might have to do it. But anyway, I'm really distressed at the litigation that's happening out there, David, and I don't know, both Davids, I don't know what the answer is, but it's worse than most of us think if we look at it real deep and see what's going on.
Yeah, and you look it's avoidable. It's all avoidable when you really get to the core of what's really going on there. And knowing one particular case, knowing both parties extremely well, you see the blind spots that are there. And I think one of the things you can do, folks, Jim, as you're looking at this, get advice before you file a lawsuit. If you're thinking about doing it, if you're running into situations, there's other ways to resolve how to be dealing this rather than taking it into the courts. Not to say those that are in the courts aren't justified in doing so. Not going to get commentary out there on that. They feel strongly that they have to be doing what they're doing. And so that's just one of those seasons where we are in, it's the underbelly of the industry right at the moment. It's sad and it's unfortunate. It's revealing some soft spots that are a little difficult. Alice, I know you always have thoughts on all of this as we wrap it up.
Not knowing the specifics of the litigation, you guys are really thinking through, because there's so many facets to that, right? When I hear litigation. So I guess I'm going to defer, and hopefully Mark will keep us updated.
Yeah, keep us updated. Yep, for sure. Thank you, Alice. All right, folks, that wraps up the podcast today. So good to have you here. I appreciate you telling others about the podcast. Again, remember the True webinar tomorrow. It's got some great content. Anytime we get Kevin Perino and I on a podcast and we're talking about some of the things that are ideas that we can do differently, 10 points that we're going to be going through that you can do differently, I encourage you to check it out. It'll improve your business in 2024. Special thank you to Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham, David Kittle, Alice Alvey, Alan Pollack, and Mark Helm for their contributions to this podcast each and every week. Also, thank you to Byte Software, Finastra, Total Expert, Lender Homepage, Truve with their webinar, as well as Angel AI, MBA. Sign up for the Mortgage Action Alliance app, folks. Please do. Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, iEmergent, Knowledge Coop, Mobility, MMI, and Modex. All of our sponsors, thank you so much. Have a great day. Look forward to seeing you back here next week, and have a great week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.